Well, people see what we're really like when we're at home, for good and bad. As believers, though, we got to keep in mind something we've talked about in Colossians in the last couple of weeks. We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and as a result, we're to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're to bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances we may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then it says in verse 14 in chapter 3, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, most of us can put on a pretty good show at Walmart, though we've seen people that can't. That is true. But the issue is, how are we doing at home with those we live with and rub shoulders with? You know, I want to encourage you, and I'm going to take this scary step of asking those that I live with, how am I doing in this area? And, you know, I want to encourage you to be honest and have a real heart-to-heart, not for condemnation's sake, but for the sake of Christ and harmony in your home. But we've been looking at Colossians, and a big theme is Christ is all-sufficient, and Christ is supreme. And if that is the case, if he is supreme in our lives, it'll show up in how we treat one another. Paul is going to move to the realm of the family, and that's a very practical area. It's the first institution God created. You see it in the very beginning of Genesis. And it's interesting, too, because God created the institution of family and marriage, and so that's what the devil's trying to destroy. He's been at it the whole time, and we can really see, even in the last few decades, he's really working hard. As the home goes, so goes the country and the world, in fact. Incidentally, the breakdown of the family is a sign of the end times in 2 Timothy 3. For us as believers, though, a godly home must be our goal. It's not just so the kids will turn out right and not embarrass us. Oh, that's nice when that happens. But that God would be glorified, and actually so our homes would reflect the joy of Jesus. Remember, Jesus came to save us and to give us life to the full. And that doesn't just start in heaven, it can be here too. We're going to look in Colossians 3, 18 to 21 today. It's really a short but sweet instruction manual. And it's actually worth memorizing, especially the part that applies to you. Don't memorize the part that doesn't apply to you and share with those that it does. Learn your part. You know, this is timeless material for God's people. And you ignore it to your peril. All of us who have been alive more than 5 seconds have seen when it doesn't go well in our own lives or the lives of those around us. It's interesting, Paul is going to mention pairs. He's going to talk about the subordinate pair and the one in a little bit more authority. And it's interesting that the false teachers that Paul was dealing with, they were very much into, hey, if you have true spirituality, then you're going to have this mysticism, you're going to have the secret knowledge in what to do, and to know these things. And Paul's going to say, hey, if you're really spiritual, you'll actually do what God's word says. I mean, think about that. We all know people who can spout Bible and verse, but do they live it? You know, it's better to be the humble, illiterate guy that all he knows is that Jesus loves me, this I know, and so I'll do what the Bible says so, than to know a ton of other things. And so Paul writes these words. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. You know, this is not just good advice for 2,000 years ago or the 1950s. It's not advice for, you know, that is so last decade or whatever the case may be. This is timeless truth coming from God, and God is telling us what is best for human flourishing. You see, God is a loving God, and he's good, and he knows what's best for us. He designed people. He designed marriage and families. And so he's giving us what really will be best for us and what he wants for us. He knows what works. And so let's begin. Wives, submit to your husbands. This is fitting in the Lord. Well, it doesn't say so in this passage, but it really goes back to the Genesis account. When God made man and woman in Genesis, and he told them, leave, cleave, become one flesh. That's the definition of marriage. But let me be clear, and I wouldn't have had to say this even a few years ago. We're talking one biological man, one biological woman, in a lifelong covenant marriage between the two of them. Well, Paul says this to the wives based on two ideas. First of all, the order of creation. Man was made first, then woman. You can see this in Genesis, or even in 1 Timothy 2, it says Adam was formed first, then Eve. Okay. Also, the second thing is the order within the Godhead, and some people kind of struggle with this, but 1 Corinthians 11:3 puts it this way. The head of every man is Christ, the head of man, woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, what's going on here? The head of Christ is God? Have you ever thought about that? There's kind of a pecking order in the Trinity? Well, that's what it seems to say. But here's the question. Is God the Son less important than God the Father? No. They just have different roles. Note, I didn't say God was the first or most important, or that the Son appeared or was created. No. There have always been three persons in the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There are three persons in one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. The Father isn't more important than the Son or the Spirit, and man is not above woman. They're equally important, created by him, the way he wanted them, but they're different by design, and that's God's design. We've got to keep that in mind. You know, people could have told Henry Ford that his idea for the assembly line for automobiles was a dumb idea. But you know what? He didn't care. Because he made a ton of money, became one of the richest men in the world. And guess what? Even today we're going, that guy was pretty smart. You know, people can mock God's design for humanity all day long, but he's not going to change it. He is not going to swap out roles or redefine things just because some asinine individuals think they're more advanced than the Almighty. That's not going to happen. And as God's people who believe the Bible, we take our shots from the Bible. We go, oh, this is what God said? Yes, we will live accordingly. And guess what? Blessed are those who hear his words and do them, according to the Lord Jesus. So getting back to this thing, there's a call for women to submit to their husbands. Is this God putting women in their place? Is the Trinity the founding member of the He-Man Woman Haters Club? Do you remember that? No. This is the God who's loved us with an everlasting love. This is the one who rejoices over us with singing. The one who so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. This is the all-wise, all-knowing God, creator God, telling us how to live. So what is submission? What does it mean to submit? Well, to begin with, it is not inferiority. It's not slavery. It's not subjugation. The term actually is derived from military vocabulary. It means to arrange oneself under a delegated authority. So there's a recognition that there are ranks of authority and the different soldiers do different things. They're under the direction of others. In the military, there are privates and there are generals. One's not necessarily better than the other. One tells people what to do. The other gets everything done. You know, that's kind of how it goes. But they have different roles and responsibilities. The United States Air Force pilots, they consider themselves the pinnacle of people. And the truth is, they are pretty primary, they're important, but logistics guys know this, and smart pilots remember it. Without fuel, pilots are pedestrians. Think about that. You know, if you don't have the purchasers and the procurers and the pumpers, the pilots are going to be walking. We've got to remember, just because there's different roles doesn't mean one's more important than the other. Think about it, guys. Where would you be without women? You wouldn't be born. And you wouldn't live long because we need them to be regulators on our stupid impulses. So, I mean, God knows what he's doing. But the biblical idea of submission comes with the idea of entrusting yourself to the leadership of another to accomplish a task. Yes, that's hard. But it's actually a good thing when a wife places herself under her husband's hat, in a sense, the authority God's given her, and she seeks to please him. And especially when it doesn't come, seeks to please God, especially when it doesn't come easy or naturally. So yes, according to the Bible, the husband's head of the home. But his role carries great responsibilities, which we're about to talk about. He's not the dictator, and his wife's not the dutiful scullery drudge. You know what I'm saying? He's not the king. She's not the castle wench. He's more like the president. She's the VP of the organization, and the progeny come under him both. But in situations where one must yield, it's the wife that should. Now, that's not easy, though, for the ladies. Think about it. Think about what you're like, guys. We can be real turkeys. And would you want to listen to you all the time? Well, think about that, okay? If you think you've got it tough, think what you put her through sometimes. But guys, think about, careful what you wish for, because God holds you responsible for your screwball family decisions. So, and if she defers and you make a really dumb call, you buy that Lamborghini instead of make the mortgage payment, not going to go well for you. Anyway, let's look back at our verse. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Well, this is controversial in our culture. If someone was to pop this up on the HuffPost or CNN, oh, they'd get exciting. Or imagine, now we're gonna, here we are on The View, we're going to turn into Pastor Mike from Sunday, the 7th of July. Wow, can you imagine? Anyway, that wasn't helpful, but that would not fly in our culture. But keep in mind, it doesn't say wives obey. I looked, I didn't find it. No. You know, what does it say, though? It says children obey in verse 320, and it says slaves obey in 322. And the submit thing applies to wives in marriage, not to men in general. So just because you're a man doesn't mean you can go around bossing women around in Bi-Mart. You know, just because you're a guy and there's a bunch of ladies in front of you waiting to get ice cream at Phil's Frosty doesn't mean you can cut in line. As a man, you are probably not God's gift to women. And God didn't necessarily tell them they need to listen to your words of wit and wisdom. You know, keep it in perspective. There's another thing. You will not find this famous line in the Bible. Woman, get me a beer. It's not there either. In fact, if you remember the famous Ephesians 5 passage, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what? I don't know why they put that in a different paragraph. Because it's submit to one another. This is important. We're to submit, first of all, to God. And if I, as a man, am submitting to God, then hopefully I'm a little more attuned to the fact that I'm not king of the castle. There should be only one Lord of the manor, and that's Jesus. And since I'm under Christ's supremacy, I should be more cognizant of what I expect with others. Therefore, men, there should be no domination or exploitation. But instead, if you're going to be obsessed with anything, be obsessed with loving leadership that lays one's life down. Well, let's get back to the ladies. Oh, man, you're to submit to the God-ordained and delegated authority of your husband. But how's that to look? As is fitting in the Lord. So dudes treating women as doormats, that's not fitting in the Lord. Women putting up with meandering men is not fitting in the Lord. Yes, you are to recognize the God-given authority that God's placed in your life. You're to have a good and respectful attitude towards him, to defer at times, a lot of the time. But that doesn't mean she is to subject herself or her children to danger or being demeaned. If your husband's hurting you in any way, shape, or form, let someone know. Abuse is not okay. Keep that in mind. This isn't... God is not saying men can treat you like trash. No. In the Lord means you're submitting to things that are fitting in the Lord. And your attitude is also one of submission as well. It's voluntary, not to be forced. Woman, do. It's not what the scripture says. It's women, do this. Men, you've got another role. And we'll talk about that. There's no room for submit woman in the body of Christ. Now, it may be true you need to. Okay, that might be the case. But it might be received better by you if it's expressed a tad more politely, possibly. You know what? All of us need advice and admonition from the Word sometimes. And guess what also? This doesn't mean it doesn't apply to you ladies if your husband's not a believer. You don't get to do just whatever you want. No, whether he's in the Lord or not, you're in the Lord. And so you should do what is fitting in the Lord. Because guess what? You're responsible for you. Just a few verses earlier in Colossians, Paul had said, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Keep that in mind. You see, this was a really radical notion during Paul's day. Not the woman submit to your husband thing, but what came next. Because at this time in history, women and children were viewed as chattel, especially in Roman culture, disposable. You have all kinds of women in your life for all kinds of different reasons, and they don't have any rights or responsibilities or legal standings, and they were not treated well. And here Christ comes into the situation. And Paul, as his spokesman, says, I got some important news to tell you. Before Christ, there's neither men nor women, slave nor free. Jew or Greek, all are valuable. All have the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus and be accepted by him. Keep this in mind, especially for the men at that time, and for a lot of guys now. We are not more important. We are equally valuable in God's sight because we're made in his image. Well, Paul pointed to the fact that there is an issue of function, not inferiority. Men, women, boys, and girls can all be disciples of Jesus, but they have a little bit different roles. And remember, we're all under God, and got to remember that. We are all called to love and submit to one another. Well, so wives, submit to your husbands. But guys, you have a challenging task as well. Our next verse, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Be honest, you're going to find more in the Bible about a husband's role to love his wife than a wife's role to submit. Especially if you read Ephesians 5, which I read at the beginning of the service. Twice as many times it says, men, this is what you're to do. Men, this is what you're to do. I'm guessing it's because women are better listeners, for one thing, and guys need to be told things repeatedly. I was thinking about this, think about this. Honey, please take out the trash. Please take out the trash. Take out the trash. Trash! You know, I mean, come on. We're told, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. What did Jesus do? He died so that there would be a church. He died for her. So, man, if you want to have a good marriage, you better die. Well, to yourself, to your desires, to you, and live instead on behalf of others. Take care of the little lady God gave you. You know, I have to admit, I'm more selfish than I'd like to think, especially when it comes to the last piece of pie or putting my so-called needs in front of my needs before those of my bride. You know, it's interesting, though, Jesus didn't hold back. He was willing to sacrifice so much. Think about it. He was in heaven. It was perfect. It was the right temperature. Everything was great. There was no sin. Everyone was praising him. What did he came to this earth where people hated him? People stink. He didn't get enough to eat. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He took all the sins of the world upon himself. He was tortured beyond belief. He didn't deserve any of it. He took all of it. How? For why? For us. So we could be reconciled to God. So, men, we need to do a whole lot more Jesus thinking and acting when it comes to loving our spouses. Don't memorize that first verse. Memorize the second verse we're talking about today. You see, the word Paul uses, love your wives, it's agape. It's that love-based commitment. It's not the affection or romantic or physical love. It's that caring, deliberate attitude concerning, I want what's best for you kind of thing. Here's the deal. You said I do, so do. You know? You don't feel love, it doesn't matter. Because biblical love is a verb and command. In 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the others. Wow. Yeah, you know what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It describes love. It's patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It waits for her to apologize. It waits for her to come. It waits for her to grovel. No. That's not what it says. Love gives of itself. It always hopes. It always trusts. It always perseveres. I want to encourage you, if you're not feeling the love, just keep acting until the feelings follow. And if it takes a while, just keep at it. It's kind of like sometimes there are people we are not thrilled with. Think of your least favorite politician. No, don't do that, because now you'll be thinking there. But pray for them. The more you pray for that person that drives you batty, the more you it begins to change you. If you're having a hard time loving your spouse, pray for them. If you're having a hard time submitting or respecting them, pray for them. Paul says, don't be harsh with them. That suggests don't become embittered or resentful, because when you get cross or irritated, it comes out, and they know. If you don't think it sounded harsh, ask them if they thought it sounded that way. Their ears are more important than what your mouth and brain says. I'm going to say, don't let a sour attitude take root. Don't call her honey and act like vinegar towards her. You know, that's how, and part of the way we're to do that, not to be harsh, is to remember 1 Peter 3:7. It says, live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, this is interesting. There was a husband who made an appointment with a marriage counselor because he and his wife were having a really rough time. His wife was hurt and upset, and as she began to talk, she crossed her arms and talked about how she didn't have any love in her life, and tears filled her eyes, and her lips started quivering, and it wasn't long before the wise counselor realized what the problem was, so he got her a Kleenex, and he came over and gave her a big hug, and there was an immediate change that came over her face, and she softened, and her eyes lit up, and the counselor stood back and said to the husband, see, that's all she needs. Husband checked his calendar and said, great. I'll bring her back every Tuesday and Thursday to see you. That's not good. No, that's not what loving your wife looks like. It looks like you getting over your issues and seeking to understand hers. If she's crying and that drives you batty, you just sit there and shut your yap and listen. It means you tell her more than I love you at the wedding. You know, if it's been 40 years, you need to do it again. It may mean you warm the toilet seat up in cold mornings and don't stink it up. Best you got now. Never mind. Anyway, involves your cleaning and cooking and cupping or coughing up the cash if you're not good at either, so she can have a break. Guys, if you win a trip for two to Hawaii, don't you go twice. That would be an issue. You may have heard of the love languages, and it's about finding out how she feels loved and appreciated. And if you don't know, ask her, okay? And ladies, if that clueless guy God gave you sincerely is trying to do better, don't respond with, if you love me, you'd know. Because he doesn't. That's why he's asking. You know, we can't read your minds, even if you think we should be able to. But really, it's not fair, because our minds are easy to understand, to read. 95% of what is on a married guy's mind are 3 or 4 letter words. Car, gun, food, fish, girl. Not in that particular order always, but... Yeah, and the other 5% are really not important. So, but anyway, guys, we're not, it's true, we're not that smart. That's why God said it's not good for man to be alone. Let's make a helper for him. I mean, think about that. We need the women in our lives, and, you know, but I will say, being dumb by nature does not get us off the hook for being dumb in her regards, because that's why, again, we're told, live with your wife in an understanding way. And that implies if you don't have understanding, you're going to figure out how to get some. You know, a lot of people ask me theological questions, and they say, that's a great question. I'll get back to you with the answer, and I can go look it up. If you don't know how to live with your wife, take some time. You have a new research project, buddy. It's more important than rebuilding the manifold on your whatever, you know. You know, it's interesting. I've noticed single ladies, you seem to be okay for the most part. But it's rough for a lot of guys. Now, we have a few exceptions of single men here, and they're doing well, so let's praise God. But if you're a single man or woman, rejoice and be glad in what you have and what you don't. It's been said, it's better to be single and want to be married than married and want to be single. My grandma gave me some really sad marriage advice, and I never really asked about it, but she said, marry in haste, repent in leisure. I thought, ooh, that's kind of sad. But anyway, but there are a lot of things written about men and women in marriage. And guess what? What do men need a lot of? Respect. What do women need? Love. Just like God said all those years ago. Yeah, it's been said love and respect are like oxygen hoses, getting that sweet, life-giving, fresh-smelling air. Ah, when a man receives respect from his wife, it's wonderful. And when a wife has love flowing to her from her husband, it is life-affirming and good. The key is to keep it up and not stomp on each other's oxygen hoses. That doesn't go well. You know, I think I've told some of you about the guy who was really annoyed at his wife once. And he unwisely blurted out, how could God make someone so beautiful, so stupid? And she coldly responded, he made me beautiful, so you'd marry me. He made me stupid, so I'd marry you. They both flunked. That's not love and respect, folks. They get an F in marriage 101. Designer of men and women know what we need, and he's communicated that. So if you have your spouse, what do you need? He'll probably tell you one of those two. So I want to tell you, though, don't listen to the latest cultural commentary on marriage. It'll change next week, and it'll be equally bad advice. Go to the Bible. It still speaks, it still stands, and it's been right from day one. So guys, love your wives. Hug her, but not on her sunburn or on the sore shoulder. Give them gifts if that's what they like, but not just stuff you want them to have or use. Toots, I got you a new carburetor from the chainsaw, so you can do that Proverbs 31 lady thing, you know, and make some money and keep the house warm and give me respect, because all the guys will be like, wow. No. Unless she is into logging and she lets you know, then get her the best steel that money can buy, and buy her premium, plenty of non-ethanol, sharpen that thing twice daily. But find out what really pleases her. Study her. If she's crazy about crockery, round some up. Don't get the cheapest junk at the thrift store unless it's exact perfect and she likes that. Then that's cool, because you've loved your wife and saved money at the same time. So that can be cool. But if she needs kind words, share them. Maybe honeydew her list before she can make one out for you. If she wants quality time, suck it up, guys. Go to the mall. Mall walk. And if she wants to pop in some place and try on pink pantyhose, be in awe with whatever pops out of that fitting room. You know? Let her know she's got legs and still knows how to use them, or whatever the case might be. But, you know, maybe it's going to involve cuddling and kissing and on the couch with no three-letter post-activities in mind. It's actually pretending to care about her broken bric-a-brac, or about when she comes back from the grocery store and tells you about her long-lost roommates, neighbors, third cousins, Aunt Gerda's daughter, and how they had the most marvelous talk about mustard greens and marshmallow sculpture making, you know. Oh, that is fabulous. I've been waiting all day to hear about that. You know, basically, if you 1 Corinthians 13 your wife, she will not complain. And it'll be easier to submit to your loving leadership. Make your job easier, guys. Your life will be better as a result. Remember, it's literally to die for her. Sometimes it's literal, as in dogs, drunks, disaster. Sometimes it's figuratively. The last donut, doing dishes, discussing things with her. We're to die for her. You know, I've seen from my observation, marriages have more problems because the guy doesn't love his wife more than because the wife's not submissive. Honestly, it's usually the guy's fault. You know, men, if you think you got a sassy lass on your hands, better ask if she's got a loving lad on hers. We got to think about that. So married men, and that includes me, you may really need to work on love for your wife. Married women, you may really need to work on the love and submit thing with your husband. It's a command of God. No ifs, ands, or buts. And you just might need a dressing down. I hope not, and I hope I don't, but I'm going to ask. But keep in mind, if you're struggling, go to God. Go to each other. We all know what it's like to have spats with our spouses. We're human. We've blown it. The key is, what do you do when you have them? Do you continue to love and respect and submit? It's not easy. Remember, we all need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to forgive. We're just not going to get to the stuff on the kids, but that'll be for another day. But I'll close with a story. There was a man long ago who chose a wife for himself from his people. And he went to her father to negotiate the bride price. And it was customary for a suitor to offer up to 2 to 5 cows to a father to show that he could support the bride and to offer something in exchange for the daughter. It was well known that the more cows given, the better quality of the bride. Well, the man was not like most men. Instead of offering just a few cows, he offered 10 fine cows in order to marry to have the hand of this man's daughter in marriage. And the father hurriedly accepted the offer before the young man could change his mind. Well, this created quite a stir in the village. What did this guy see in her that they hadn't seen? What made her so valuable that she was worth double, if not 5 times, what other women were? Word began to spread to other villages. There was a 10-cow woman living nearby. The young man treated her like a queen because he'd paid a queen's price for her. And the villages began to treat her with new respect because, after all, she was a 10-cow woman. All this treatment affected her, and she began to view herself differently as well. She didn't act like a commoner, but like a great lady, because she was a Ten-Cal woman. And so one man transformed this ordinary lady into an extraordinary wife because he took delight in her. Men, if you're married, remember, whomever is by your side is a Ten-Cal woman that God has selected. After all, she's holy and dearly loved by him and hopefully by you too. And you ladies, you're Ten-Cal ladies. Be thankful for that guy who hopefully recognizes and knows your value. Do him a favor. Give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't wake up this morning with the goal to make you miserable. Problem is, he's a mere mortal man, and he's not very good at that. And he really needs you by his side, because this is dog-eat-dog world. Younger ones, keep in mind, listen to your folks. Listen to your mother, that your 10-cow mom, who hopefully your dad recognizes that way. Well, guess what? God has called us to love and respect, respect and love. Keep asking God for help doing this. Is it easy? No. Will we flounder and fail? Yes. But God is faithful. He won't let us down. Let's love the ones God given us together. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to follow your word. May we have joy in the relationships you've given us. I know there can be a lot of hurt and pain in regards to this topic. I pray, Lord, for those of us who have needed a swift kick, that you would provide that reminder. For those who need healing from the past or the present, God, would you bring comfort? Lord, help us as a people of God to elevate what you have created, that of marriage. Lord, we thank you that you are loving and kind. It's in your name we pray. Amen.